Maryland's news now on the only station that matters, WBAL.com.
Decision to respond to the use of chemical weapons and the options that are under consideration as a response to that clear violation have to do with the use of chemical weapons. We have a policy of support for the opposition in Syria. We have a policy of significant humanitarian support for the Syrian people and for refugees in other countries, and that will continue.
That was White House spokesman Jay Carney today. Today also, Secretary of Defense Chuck Hagel says the military is ready should the president make that call. Allies are also joining the chorus of outrage after what's called an overwhelming amount of evidence. A large chemical attack was used by the Syrian government on civilians last week. But James Carafano, vice president of Foreign and Defense Policy Studies at the Heritage Foundation, says we should not fire missiles at Syria. And he joins us now to talk with some of his five reasons why. James, thank you so much for being with us.
Hey, great to be with you.
Your first, I guess, and foremost is this isn't what the U.S. should be doing, and it distracts us from our mission.
Right. I think, look, this regime has already been involved in killing 100,000 people. They're not going to stop killing and fighting because we drop a few bombs on them. I mean, this is not Kosovo. This is not Bosnia. So there may be some sense of moral, you know, that, well, we killed somebody. That may make us feel good, but it's not going to end the civil war. And if anything, it's probably going to make the outcome more intractable. So that's always the number one thing. It's been 25 years in the Army. We had very simple rules that they taught us, is you use force when it's suitable, feasible, and acceptable. It's hard to see the suitable outcome here.
Of course, my natural question is to you, what should we do then in response to something so horrific?
Well, I mean, I think, first of all, I think the president, in a sense, may have actually contributed to this. I know that's a very harsh...
By staying out of it?
Well, you know, the president said, well, we have red lines. And then when there were lots of discussions that chemical weapons, which I don't think he should have ever made that statement to begin with.
Do you think he's regretting it?
Well, absolutely, because now because we have this perverse thing that I said this so I wouldn't have to do anything. But having said it, I've now forced myself to do something. And now it's like, well, I have to follow through because I said I was going to do something. It's like being a parent, you know, don't say something unless you're going to mean it. So there was evidence before of chemical weapons use. And the answer was, well, we're going to do nothing. And so in a sense, that may have actually encouraged this kind of behavior.
Yeah, the scale was larger this time around. I think that was the
right
difference. You make the point that a vital U.S. interest is not at stake.
Right. We are very interested in having Syria be peaceful and prosperous, not having it become another sanctuary for al-Qaeda, not having a dictator in charge who is, you know, on the virtue of committing genocide, destabilizing part of the world, which is very unsafe for the United States to be unstable. The question is what's the best way to achieve that? Are any of those goals going to be a step further after these missile strikes? And the answer is no.
Does it in any way appease you to think that they could possibly make strikes just on military targets?
To what end? I mean, what have you actually achieved in terms of
strengthening
the
rebels?
That's a good question. I don't, you know, if they were going to, they would have to do a massive prolonged bombing campaign to actually tip the balance of power, or something along the lines of what was done in Bosnia or Kosovo. I don't think there's any appetite for that. Something close to what they did in Libya.
You also say that missile attacks, in your opinion, would only make the president look weaker.
I think that is true, because this is a part of the world where honor is power. I mean, you're respected if you're a powerful person. And this kind of fly-swatter approach, if anything, Assad's going to come out of the rubbles and say, look, I'm still standing, which is what bin Laden did after we tried the same thing in Afghanistan. It actually made him look more powerful in many people's eyes.
The responsibility to protect doctrine, and we're talking specifically about a United Nations doctrine, which goes back to the question of the human rights issues,
right,
arguing for an obligation of nations to intervene.
Right. And
you don't agree with that doctrine, it sounds like.
Absolutely not. Look, and first I should be very, very clear. It's not that I'm indifferent to human suffering. Sarin gas is a horrifyingly awful weapon. And anybody that uses sarin gas on innocent human beings is, you know, one step to the right of Adolf Hitler. And they should burn in hell, and they should be hounded and brought to justice. The question is what's the most efficacious and useful way to do that? The right to protect doctrine basically says that you have to run around and being the world's policeman. And first of all, you can't do that. And the questions aren't always clear-cut about when people should or should not intervene. And, you know, Russia invaded Georgia. under much the same pretext. They said, well, we had to go in and protect these people, so we had to invade a fellow country. We all thought that was a laughable joke. But yet when we do it, we're in a sense setting a precedent for bad people to do bad things and just say, this is okay, because we're just doing what you did in Libya and Syria.
James Carafano from the Heritage Foundation, we appreciate you joining us and talking about reasons not to use missile strikes in Syria.
Thanks for having me.